Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Musician Mark Revenson, known to nearly all as Lil Rev, is a veritable ambassador to his instrument. Based in Sheboygan, he travels not just around Wisconsin, but around the country, sharing his love for the ukulele. Rev's most recent album is called Sing Song Daddy, but his next gig is about more than his own music.
Lil Rev is also the organizer or the convener of the Great Lakes Ukulele Gathering, which will bring players and lovers of the instrument together to Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point next Sunday, the 14th. He joined us in the studio to talk about the event and the instrument and to play a few tunes. The old Sheboygan soft shoe, Lil Rev in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's really great to be back here with you, Mitch. Nice to see you.
It has been a while, and I was thinking about this. Probably the first time we spoke, gosh, maybe it was 10 years ago, and I feel like 10 years ago almost was what felt like the beginning of the ukulele renaissance at that point.
That's right. Yeah, it's to the point now where you know, for a while we were all calling it a revival of interest, right? You know, and now it's obvious that it's here to stay. It's become entrenched in American pop culture again, and more importantly, at a grassroots level, it's touching all aspects of American life at a time when we desperately needed to become participants again rather than just observers. And when I say that, as I may have said in the past, I mean people, you know, the instrument got America singing again. You know, we needed that. We needed to find our voice again at a time when almost everything seemed to sound alike or canned or what have you. You know, we got kids playing ukuleles in schools now and ensembles and bands. We got seniors at in retirement communities getting together a couple times a month to be in ukulele clubs. And all aspects of civic involvement are being touched by the beauty and the music of ukulele across the country. And this flowering, you know, of a movement has been really exciting to watch as I dare call myself, you know, Johnny Appleseed, because there are many others above me.
Well, but it's a pretty appropriate metaphor, actually, because you travel the country and in some ways, you have been a key figure in making this instrument what it is nationally today.
Well, you know, it was it happenstance? Was it luck? Did I find the instrument or did the instrument find me? You know, it used to be a little place called Nash's Irish Castle over on Lincoln Street. A great little place, the best little secret for a Friday night fish fry, you know, and one night one of my fans gave me a ukulele that was an old beat up family heirloom, and that started it.
That was the first time,
you know, so early 90s. And then just finding the other ukulele geeks around the country at expos and gatherings on the Eastern Seaboard. And then from that, it just kind of a few little festivals sprung up, like-minded players finding each other. And now today, you know, that was before YouTube and videos that went viral, like Jake Shimabukuro's While My Guitar Gently Weeps, later Is, and many other popular groups that help, you know, really.
Is, for people who are not familiar, is Israel Kamaka Viva Ole.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. Singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But meanwhile, somewhere under the rainbow, here we all are, you know, plucking and strumming and plunking away. And, you know, it's just really wonderful. So this is the third, you know, coming of the ukulele, the teens and 20s when the Hawaiian brought it here, and then the 50s and 60s from Arthur Godfrey to Tiny Tim, and then, you know, just kind of fell off again. But this time it's so you know, entrenched, as I said earlier, in so many aspects of our society. There's hundreds of ukulele clubs. There's, you know, dozens of festivals and all over the country and the world for that matter. And then, of course, there's a publishing industry and the infrastructure of manufacturing and creating instruments like our own Hal Leonard here in Milwaukee, whom I've been very fortunate to have a great relationship writing instructional books with. And all these things have just kind of served one another in a really, really organic manner. You
mentioned Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim really would not be unique today. He would not get the same kind of attention that he did when he was Tiny Tim.
No, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny when you think of that. You know, Tiny Tim was a novelty. He knew it, and he came along at a time. This is my own theory, but, you know, 1968, I believe, was the year of God Bless Tiny Tim, Tiptoe Through the Tulips, the release of that album, his later appearance on Johnny Carson, and that sort of thing. But, you know, Tiny Tim was a novelty. He milked it to the nth degree. And he came along at a time in the village and down in the village when Bob Dylan was playing at little cafes, when there weren't too many ukulele players out there, and he had shtick.
You were talking about that first time that you had I keep saying ukulele, but it is ukulele. Was it love at first sight or at first strum or pluck?
You know, for me, it kind of came in waves. I was given a banjo ukulele, and so banjo ukulele is brash. It's real bright. It's real upfront. It's in your face, and that's why banjos take all the bad jokes, you know, in terms of instruments. But
and viola, right?
That's right. you know, so, but there was something inherent in the sound and these four strings, you know, tuned My Dog Has Fleas. So when you hear you hear that sound, there's something sweet about it. And it's lilting, it's happy, it's inviting, and it's intimate. And as your fingers touch the strings, it just feels good. And as time went on, I just kind of fell in love with that sort of connection, not really understanding initially. Eventually, I found an old Favia ukulele at a pawn shop in Madison, and that became my main ukulele till I wore the top off of it. And I had to take it over to luthier Denny Round, put a little pick guard, make a homemade pick guard like Willie Nelson, as the face of his guitar. I wore the top off of it. But yeah, it just... with each year, I became more in love with the instrument, what it offered, and how it was sweet for accompanying the voice, fun to write songs on, things I couldn't do on the guitar as a guitarist, I was doing on the ukulele. It was a lot more inviting and user-friendly, and maybe that's why so many people are finding it to be an instrument that is, you know, really practical if you want to play music and choose to pick an instrument.
There is also something to be said for an instrument that weighs about 1 pound.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, this is not the instrument, you know, at night when the barroom brawl breaks out that you're going to protect yourself with, you know.
But I'm looking at the instrument that you have there, and I'm guessing this is not the one that the pick guard was added to.
No.
But it is a beautiful instrument.
Yeah, the one that I have here in the studio with you, Mitch, is it's a sycamore wood around. It was made on white salmon, Washington, Hood River, Oregon, by a company called Maya Moe, whom I was working with for a long time. These days, I've spent a lot of time with a company called Kanalea, which builds them, you know, over in Hawaii. And so, yeah, you develop affinity for different tonal woods. And now there's a whole way beyond a cottage industry of both large manufacturers and small shop, you know, luthiers building instruments, and more work than they can handle, for sure.
Well, I feel like at this point, we haven't even mentioned the fact that you have a new album out. It's called Sing Song Daddy, and I think we should hear another song from it.
Oh, that'd be wonderful here. I'm going to put on the little harmonica rack as well, and I'm going to play a tune called The Milwaukee Waltz, And when you make music in Milwaukee, invariably you got to slow down once in a while. And people come in, they ask for all kinds of different things. You want to make a living in Milwaukee as a musician. The advice we give you, those of us who have been doing it for a little while, is to be diverse. Know how to play lots of different kinds of music, because people are going to ask you for that. We're a diverse town. every once in a while towards the end of the night, people want a slow dance, and that's usually where the waltz comes in. And so I could only sing Tennessee Waltz and the Goodnight Irene so many times before I had to write a new waltz to contribute to the canon. So here it is, the Milwaukee Waltz.
Waltz across Texas, Missouri too, out of the Midwest into the blue. If I could waltz my whole life through, waltz in Milwaukee with you. Baby, won't you shake my blues away? Honey, we could polka most any place. And if I'm gonna love you your dying day, let's waltz in Milwaukee, steal the night away. Tennessee was fine whole night through. Waltz across Ohio beneath a big harvest moon. Nothing that makes me feel so blue, it's when I'm not waltzing with you. Baby, won't you shake my blues away? Honey, we could polka most any place. And if I'm gonna love you your dying day, let's waltz in Milwaukee and steal the night away. Oh, come on now, let's steal it, little Rev. Waltzing ain't hip and waltzing ain't cool, but baby, when you're waltzing, you make me cool. To me, go from me, shoe foot shoe. One, two, three, darling, I do. Baby, won't you shake my blues away? Honey, we could polka most any place. And if I'm gonna love you to your dying day, let's waltz in Milwaukee and steal the night away.
Lil Rev, that is the Milwaukee Waltz, performed right here in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Mitch.
We mentioned the new album, the new-ish album. It's been out for a little while, and I was looking. There is a veritable who's who of local luminary musicians that also played with you on this album.
Yeah, so my most recent ukulele release, Sing Song Daddy, the title comes from my daughter when she was a little girl. She used to and could barely talk. She'd say, "Sing Song Daddy." And so it's a collection of original music, and I tend to stagger what I do between original releases and traditional music. And that this particular collection, involves a lot of really great players on there. You know, the Seegers and Robin Plur and Jim Liban, just all kinds of really wonderful players. I could go on and on. There's really blessed to have James Iannelli and Peter Roller and some of my local music, many of my local music heroes, people I grew up listening to. I'm making music and recording with these days, and they help make this album as good as I believe it turned out to be. You know.
The other thing I want to make sure we talk about is you convene a group of a large group of ukulele players every year in what was originally, I think, called the Milwaukee Ukulele Festival, and it is now expanded to a full-fledged regional affair.
That's right. In about, I don't know, 08, 09, that time period, Dave Thornton and Cheryl Ann Kelly, Mark Peterson, Jack Johnson, myself, we all all put together a little Milwaukee ukulele club, and it's grown over the years. And while I'm in Sheboygan now these days, the club's continued to grow. It meets over at Brass Bell, who's one of our festival sponsors. And there are many other little ukulele spinoff groups in town as well. The Ukuleles and all this is just this flowering that we've seen. The Milwaukee Ukulele Festival, you know, getting to be 9-10 years now that we've been plugging away. We took 1 year off to just kind of revamp things. And, late 2015, I lost my first wife to lung cancer. So, you know, everybody just took a step back and took a deep breath. And now we're back. We switched from Sunset Playhouse to Anodyne Coffee Roasters, another one of our sponsors in Walker's Point. So the Great Lakes Ukulele Gathering is what we're calling it, just a fresh coat of paint on there. We've got two national acts coming in, Neil Chin and Casey McGill, blues, jazz, swing, novelty, classes all day long.
So this is really there are things to do for people who want to brush up on their playing skills, but also for people who just enjoy the sound of the instrument, you have opportunities for people to come in and just listen.
That's right. Our concert is from 4 to 6 p.m., and that's open to the community. It's a two-hour show. The Ukulele Sunshine Band is a local group, and they'll open up the show. Then I'm going to follow with Jim Liben on harmonica and James Iannelli helping me out for some bluesy kind of stuff on the ukulele. And then Neil Chin, who's a Seattle guy, plays jazz, and followed by Casey McGill, who does all the big band and swing and novelty type stuff. So it's going to be a really great show. And of course, in a wonderful venue down there in the on the edge of the Third Ward there at Anodyne Coffee Roasters.
Well, Lil Rev, it's great to see both you and the festival doing so well.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
And do you have another maybe a little instrumental you're going to play us out with?
Sure. I'm going to play a little piece called the Ashtabula Upstroke, a little piece that was written inspired by an old fellow who came up to me. He came up to me after a nursing home gig, and he said, "You did the Ashtabula Upstroke."
Lil Rev playing us out with the Ashtabula Upstroke. You can find more information about the Great Lakes Ukulele Gathering from a link at wuwm.com. Our in-studio session was engineered by Jason Reevy.